is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, Nay's Pancake Place, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you're doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, today live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I am in a quandary today, to be honest with you. In a quandary. Because sometimes there are things that you really don't even want to touch, right? Honestly, because I am not naive. I do not pretend about the realities of the world in which I live. We are in a very sensitive time in the country, and it's becoming even more sensitive as we draw nigh to elections. And people are going to begin to cast your thoughts, your words, your actions in a context, whether it is deserved or not. There are people who call us, ask us about things which they are observing. And it's a talk show host and a talk show, and you're a talk show host, and you wonder sometimes whether you want to touch it. Because people may read it as something, and the next thing you know, they have issues with you because they think you're doing something to them. You know, the theme song for this show is I Am Not Afraid. You know? Right? You know the theme song by Eminem, right? But I have to tell you, sometimes I'm concerned about what I comment upon. I am. I'm not gonna lie to you. I am. I get concerned. So I'm a contemplate. I'm a contemplate. The Public Hospitals Authority says that the industrial action taken has strained the public health system. Why do people in the Bahamas call upon the public health system? They call upon it when they are not doing well. You're right. Like people know, no one really goes to, not many people interact with the public health system, except they are not doing well, that they are sick or in need of medical attention. Very few people proactively go to the public health system seeking to ensure that they maintain their health. And I'm not saying nobody does, but most people, we are going to those clinics, we are going to that hospital when we are sick, and sick to the point where we believe we need medical attention. Enter an industrial action where the people who provide that medical attention by their expertise, the doctors and the nurses and what have you, are not available or not available in the numbers to ensure that people can get a timely service that they need. On an ordinary basis, it is difficult. On an ordinary basis, it is difficult to get timely service. And that's not, you know, a lot of us, we just think the public health system is bad, service is bad, et cetera. But that's because we don't appreciate some nuances about providing a service period, but providing medical services period. Because some services, like medical services, represent some big trade-offs. So let me give you an example. You can get quality, quick medical services, but you are not going to get it cheap, inexpensively. Hear me again. If you want quick, quality medical services, you are going to pay handsomely for that. And that is one of the reasons why people who have the money go to private entities here or abroad, because they can get quick, in their minds, quality services. You can pay for it. You're not going to get quick, quality medical services on the cheap. Okay? If you want inexpensive to no pay medical services, chances are you are going to stand in a queue for that because you are joining the line of many people wanting the same thing. Even if it's quality, or even if that you want it cheaply or inexpensively or no pay at all, means you are going to be on the queue, so you're not going to get it fast. It isn't going to be fast. That's not true here only in the Bahamas. That is true everywhere on planet Earth, mostly. Even in Canada, where they say that the public health services, there's national health insurance, it's quality, people have to queue up. My son, who lives in Halifax, just said to me, "Daddy, in order for me to be seen by 10 o'clock, I had to go there 6 o'clock in the morning to be seen." You can spend that time. And he was a fortunate one. So queuing is consistent with either... Queuing is consistent with quality, inexpensive service. That's reality. So to blame the public health system because it happens to be a category of service that is going to be provided to you and I at no or lesser cost for being slow, there is to ignore the realities of what being almost free or free does and means to queuing. Okay? The fact it's also inexpensive or free to many means that the cost of providing it without revenue to provide it may compromise its ability to be as quality as you would like it to be. Because if handsomely, then the people who get the revenue from it could pay the level of quality equipment, staffing, and the like necessary to provide it to you at that higher quality. It is an inevitable, almost unavoidable trade-off when you're doing it that way. So now we have a service that's already strained by the sheer demand of its inexpensive, almost free provision that has its strained staff extracted by industrial action to create even greater strain. The effect of industrial action. Might a life be lost? It could happen. I don't know. We don't know. It may not even be possible to tell. Might people be further discomforted and what have you by? Of course, that's the point. And so people say, healthcare workers, be so insensitive. Why would they do that to people? And oftentimes our gut reaction is they are greedy. These people don't care. But that's a narrow, non-contextual reading of things. Let me ask you a question. Are nurses and doctors regularly taking industrial actions? No. Are they regularly stopping their attendance of people in their care? No. They do this from time to time, but it is almost always following a sustained period of dissatisfaction about the way their matters are being handled. So when you see them take this kind of action, it is almost as if they are saying, enough is enough, our patience has run out. So it's hard to say they're being greedy. It's hard to say that they're being unreasonable. It's hard to say they are uncaring when, in point of fact, the provision of the service that they are giving is something that they can give because they themselves are being cared for and taken care of in a way duress and stress and undue strain to provide the service. This is the balance of life that is what every public policy is seeking to achieve. It's a balance of life. It's sometimes a difficult task to balance the needs of the public and the needs of the public service providers. The public service providers are people too. They are taxpayers too. They are citizens of the country and residents of the country too. And so balancing their needs with the needs of the public is the very complex responsibility of policy makers. And when optimally done, they get satisfactorily what they want, not all of what they want, the service providers, and the public gets satisfactorily what it wants. The difference is the public can't strike if they are dissatisfied with the public service they're getting. What you can say, I ain't going to get no passport. I'm protesting. I'm not going to get my passport. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to go get my when I be this and that. I'm protesting. Well, who that's going to affect? You or for them? but when the provider, when the provider strikes, well, we get to feel it. And so, particularly in Grand Bahama, have been affected by this withdrawal of service. And that is what the industrial action is intended to do. Now, the minister says, Minister Pierre Glover says, that this industrial action will affect in a negative way the relationship between the government and unions. Yes. But the relationship between the government and the unions is already negatively affected. That's why the unions are taking the action they're taking. And there is nothing to be gained to either party by further damaging that relationship, right? Because I promise you, if that relationship deteriorates further, everybody loses. Everybody. There's not a winning scenario for bad relationship between the unions and the government. None. The government will lose, the unions will lose, everybody loses. There is no Craig Flowers, everybody wins scenario, FML scenario in this. Everybody loses. And so what is there to be done? You go back to the table. You go to the table. Now, if unions decide, well, all of these things we are asking for, we will not cease our action. If the government decides you are not going to get any of the things you are asking for, unless you get it under these conditions, nothing is going to happen. Right? There is of necessity a coming together that will reach a suitable resolve for all. And more likely than not, everybody ain't gonna get everything they want. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Comrade Lang. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I right here as being a former union man, trade unionist. I trying to figure out what's the best way we could deal with the trade unions and their issues. Because, yes, I'm a trade unionist, former trade unionist, but I know to go to contractual agreements every 3 or 5 years, it probably be sustainable than a very, very, very long run. So we can always have issues like what we have in now. How about this, Mr. Lang? Mm. With a working population of 150,000, somewhere thereabouts, we introduce to the working class as close to or a livable wage for everybody, a livable wage. And then we just negotiate every 3 years to 5 years the benefits that some of them get. A livable wage with a view to increments every 4 to 5 years. And we just negotiate benefits for certain workers, depending on where you work. How that sound?
Well, it sounds, I'm sure it sounds good to lots of people, but it is really impractical.
Okay.
Right? But let me tell you why. It's the starting point of its impracticality. What is that living wage going to be? See, a living wage is not a minimum wage. First, you have to define.
I agree.
You have to define the living wage. You have to define.
I agree.
And a living wage means that you have to decide what are all of the reasonable things that have to go into a person living a reasonable life. And this could even include, is a cell phone or something reasonable in order for somebody to live? So you didn't have to make that calculation, and I could promise you, bro, between the unions and the government and the private sector, business people, we will be sitting down
for 35, 78 years trying to figure that, just that alone.
Well, it was just my thinking, you know, just something I wanted to throw out there.
I think you make a good offering, but I'm just explaining the impractical realities of it, right? We talk living wage, the University of Bahamas, the Government of Public Policy Institute, to which I belong, was the first to study and put out a report regarding living wages in this country. In fact, the living wage study of the Government of Public Policy Institute was the very first study I initiated as the executive director of the Government Public Policy Institute, because I believe it would be an impactful offering for dialogue in the country. But to be sure, there's a reason why most countries in the world, I don't know of a country in the world that actually has a nationally mandated living wage. That's the difference between living wages and minimum wages, is that living wages are not nationally mandated guidelines for negotiations between employers and employees, between government and the public sector, to guide consideration of minimum wage and other kinds of things. It's very difficult, very, very difficult to get there. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back. But the question of what is to be done, let's look at that when we come back. We'll be back after this break. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece.
Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey, Uncle Pat. Where you going?
I going by Nair's Pancake Place.
You're not going for pancakes 7 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah, that is close 8, but I ain't only getting pancake. Junior want a mango barbecue burger. Nadia want a honey garlic wings and fries. Justin want chicken and waffles. And Rami want that famous batch and rice.
Should I sell all that?
And more. In fact, Sunday gone, we had steam oxtail, crab and rice, and coleslaw with ice cream and snow cone for dessert.
I go on the Nair's with you.
Well, let's go then.
I'm coming now.
Nay's Pancake Place, serving breakfast all day, lunch and dinner too. Located behind Sunshine Laundromat, next to the fire station on Settlers Way. Call 351-5456 to place your order today. That's Nay's Pancake Place. Pancake Place.
I'm coming now.
Along come a Bohemian mountain on his plate. He act like he never eat before and he didn't eat no more. He had 5 pieces of chicken, macaroni and cheese.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful
Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Farm Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Yesterday, somebody texted me, Shalang, when can I get that guava duff? I need it now. If you're in Freeport, you could get it today. But that's where Nays Pancake Place is. If you're not, made more difficult. Say this. Somebody say, good day, Brother Z. You serious about that guava guava duff pancake? And who sell this? Nays Pancake Place. And the answer was very serious about it. I can tell y'all that it is something, buddy. They ain't guava duff. Does anybody else in the world do a guava duff like we do it? Anybody knows that? I don't know that I've ever heard of guava duff anywhere else. But I can tell you this much. It certainly ain't no guava duff pancake. You know, and it is special, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. So the last caller asked what was to be done about the unions, etc. There is nothing. So I like when you say to be done, as in doing something that will cause unions never to have to protest like this. I don't think a time is coming like that. I don't think so, because the world is dynamic, right? We are not in control of all the forces. Things happen. People happen. Sometimes unions kick up because they have very legitimate concerns for their members. Sometimes unions kick up because the leadership ambition of union leaders requires them to demonstrate their power, and they kick up. Sometimes they kick up because the government has a view of the union that causes them to do things to the union that causes the unions then to kick up. That I don't see a day coming when that changes. I don't see that day coming. What I do see is a continuous platform for dialogue. That was one of the reasons platform was created. I do see a continuous platform for government leaders meeting with union leaders to, in advance, even when nothing is happening, just to talk through issues, to talk through considerations, to put propositions forward and that kind of stuff. So it really means a continuous dialogue where you're trying to, each side is trying to inform of their positions and understand each other's positions. It's very important for people to understand each other's positions. And sometimes when governments behave in a kind of way where people believe that there is a endless pot of money to do anything, they ought not to be surprised if the public, including of the unions, think you could do this. We need more and you can give us more. And why not? Because you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing the next thing, you're doing this. Why would you not be in a position to give us more? And the people wanting more for themselves is a natural disposition, is it not? Don't you want more for yourself? The only question is whether more can be legitimately given, and whether that is so or not depends on how people perceive your resources. Sometimes people see a business open, right? They see you in business and they think you are making one boogie load of money. That isn't true. Many businesses operate on overdraft, hoping eventually to be able to take some money home from the business. Many business people will tell you there are many days when employees get paid, the power company gets paid, the water company gets paid, the vendors who supply them get paid, but they take nothing home. In fact, they have to put money in the business. And whether people believe you or not will determine how they perceive They should make demands on you. That's why if you are the government, like, transparency is your friend. And prudentiality is your ally. Can I tell you that again? In government, transparency is your friend. Why? It allows people to actually see and know what is going on, what your actual financial circumstances are. Prudentiality is your asset because you are acting in ways that reflect the nature of your resources. When you are fully resourced, you act a certain way. When you are meagerly resourced, you act another way. And people then get to say, well, you could see things, stuff. So let me see and get people mad. So let me ask you a question then. Let me put it like this. If you saw your government buying small vehicles, economic vehicles, flying less, and saying to you when they flew, can I tell you all that we stayed at this hotel and our nightly rate was $100 and something, not $200, $300, $400, $500. And we opted not to go to this particular conference, but to log into the conference by Zoom. Not every time, but we went to some conferences, etc. I'm only asking, if you saw that, what would you think about the prudentiality of the government and about its resources versus the alternative? Would it not signal to you, you know what? The government is even trying to save money, and therefore you all can't be making these demands right now because things ain't all that. Mind you, you should say, well, I see the government not running a deficit, so that means the government doesn't have the money. You realize that, right? If the government is running a deficit, it means the government is spending more money than it has. If the government is borrowing, it means the government is spending more money than it has. So that should be a signal. But the problem with that is people don't believe the government is running a deficit because it has to. It believes the government is running a deficit because it wants to. That's the difficulty. If you thought the government was running a deficit because the money just ain't there, you would think differently about what the government has. But if you think the government is running a deficit because it wants to, you think a different kind of way. Says, good afternoon. Mom and them learned about guava duff when they came to the Bahamas. All right. So this is a very good friend whose folks didn't originate in the Bahamas. And she's saying that they learned about guava duff when they came here. I never heard about guava duff anywhere else, that's for sure. So governments maintaining open dialogue and what have you with unions is a way to minimize, not undo forever, but minimize these possible conflicts. So Mr. Lang, I do not believe in the livable wage concept. It's not the mission of employers to fully support the lifestyles of its employees. There should be a costing done on each job. If an employee wants higher salary than the current job offers, then he/she should qualify for a higher level job. If my personal gardener wants a higher pay, he must show me what extra he will be giving to enrich the job. Can he become a full maintenance person? I agree with you. I agree with you to a very large degree about what you say. Where you and I may have just a bit of pushback is when you say, I do not believe in the livable wage. Now, that's true for you. So let me just tell you, to put it in some context. And again, every other thing you said, I agree with you 100%. It's not the employer's responsibility to provide you with a livable wage. That is absolutely true. That the employer is seeking a value based on cost that's associated with the level of profits that they are seeking to make. And if you fit into that, then you and them can have an agreement. If not, then you could go elsewhere. You can get what you want. That is true. So I 100% agree with you. But the aspiration for a livable wage as a nation should be a national aspiration. It should be a national aspiration to have everyone in the country have a livable wage. Okay, live at or above a livable wage. But it doesn't mean it's the government's responsibility to provide that. It doesn't mean it's the employer's responsibility to provide that. What it does mean, it's our national, it should be our national aim to develop ourselves in such a way that that is possible. So that the government is operating in such a way that the environment is conducive to productivity and levels of entrepreneurial activity and levels of economic activity that can bring income sufficient to people to live a livable wage or better. Okay, so it's not the obligation of the state or the employer, but it should be a state objective. We should be looking at our resources. We should be looking at our development. We should be looking at what we do that can bring more and more value out of and to the citizens of the country. So that at the end of the day, imagine if we could produce a situation where most people have a livable wage, we have produced an economy that is flourishing and most people are doing much better economically than they're doing. So you and I are not at odds about what you're saying. It's just, I believe in a livable wage only as an ambition though, as an ambition for us to have as a country. And guess what is true? That ambition ain't fixed, right? Because a livable wage is not going to stay fixed because the cost input into a livable wage is going to be moving up and up over time. That means the livable wage is going to be moving up and up over time. There's another factor that I think, producer, do we need to go to the break first? Let me know before I make that point. Do we need to go to a break? Yes, okay, let's turn back. You're listening to Zealand and I'm Shivan.
Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful
Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give the call, us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I hope this dialogue, at least I hope this issue, this topic is something you are finding useful. I hope so. On the second half of the show, we're going to talk about something. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. So I was saying that the other thing that we have to consider when we are looking at the living wage, I want you all to hear me now, is we can't just look, we have to look at our living ways. I think that the living wage can be more achievable when we look at our living ways. Okay, because the reality is that the cost of our living does have a dimension to it that reflects our lifestyles, right? Does. And there are, while there are many things out of our control, we don't get to control the rate at which the power company charges us electricity. We don't get to determine how the food stores, what the food stores charge us for food. We don't get to determine what the restaurants and the other eateries charge us for the foods we eat outside of our homes. We don't get to determine how much the schools decide to charge us for services. We and a lot of things are out of our control. We get to decide on the quantity and the quality and the choice of such things. Okay? So a living wage that includes a private sector education might cost us X plus. A living wage that is about a public school education might cause us X plus minus some. Okay? We don't get to decide how much the power company charges us as a rate, but we certainly can do something about how much of the power company's electricity we use, because we can, especially in this new day and age, embrace technology that can help us be smarter about our use. If you live in a house where your children are constantly leaving lights on when they leave, buy light bulbs that have sensors. Yeah, I have them in my home. So I don't even have to worry about turning the switch on in some parts of my house, because once I leave, after a short time, the light will switch off. And when I come and enter that area, the light will come on again. So, and every light in my house is an LED light. It's going to be an LED light, because it's more cost effective, right? I don't have an AC central air in my first floor. I have a ductless unit, exceptionally more affordable. Even in a business scenario, I have a restaurant. To run a walk-in freezer was driving my electricity up to $1,600 a month. That's undoable for small business. Undoable. I'm not going to route a power company and say you need to get your rate down. I don't get to control that. I shut down the walk-in freezer. Shut it down. I installed a timer on the water heater. Cut the whole thing down in half. Right? So
The point being, you can achieve for yourself a living wage that's more affordable when you embrace living ways that meet your own needs. Me, I waste hardly anything now. Hardly anything now. Every leftover meal is a meal for me for some other day. Every leftover meal, I've got a freezer. You go in the freezer. You've been in there for a little bit time. Let me eat you and so forth and so forth. What does that do? Save me on the cost of groceries. So we have to embrace living ways. Not just a living wage. And see, embracing living ways to control my own destiny and not have to rely upon others to do so. So I don't cuss nobody. I have to do what I have to do. The cost of this has gone up. You know what I do? I say, where should I go? Let me try and see whether my flavor is significantly affected by a reduction in certain ingredients. You cutting up them onions for your steam, and because that's how you used to making it. Maybe the steam don't need a whole onion. Maybe it needs a half onion. And guess what you might discover? That don't make a whole lot of difference at all. You know, so you can make a cake. We used to put milk in the cake. Do you know how many cakes you can make with water and can come out wonderfully with water? There are cakes you can make that don't even have to have eggs in it. Right? But you have to be willing to embrace a living way as opposed to just looking for a living way. Just text says, I love Mrs. Ways. Yeah. Yeah, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Okay. So we have to take a break for news. When we come back, I've been asked about some videos circulating and what I thought about that. When we come back, we can talk about that. We'll be back after the news break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and conversations, 96.9 FM.
Shavago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Do you have any questions, folk? Do you have any questions? Anything that you'd like to have me weigh in on today? Anything at all? I'm happy to do that. I you remember when about the Prime Minister being able to dictate to the Commissioner of Police what she does, and I said to you that the Commissioner of Police works, the police force works for the government, and any policy measures that the government feels it wants to take in respect to policing the country, they are able to so direct the police, so long as it's not contrary to the law to do. The Prime Minister is in the newspaper, according to Nassau Guardian article by Tanika Thompson, and the Prime Minister is saying that tells the police to crack down on gangs. See, that's what I'm saying. The Prime Minister can do that. He can do that, see? He's telling them focus on gangs. So he can do that. It's public policy now. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, Mr. Lai, good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm right here, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, you know. Mr. Lai, I will wait to see when the first gang member is caught. The Prime Minister has known to say a whole lot of things. But the proof is in the pudding. This legislation has been on the book for almost a year now.
You know what a very sensible police, young police officer, who's involved with gang, with trying to catch gang activity. And it was a very sensible thing he brought to our attention. I had my young people visit the police station during our Grand Bahama tour. And he pointed out that proving someone is in a gang is very difficult. He said you have to accumulate an abundance of evidence that tells you that this person is in a gang, and that people can say things that can mitigate what you thought was the reason why you thought they were in a gang.
And that is exactly what this Minister of National Security said. It's in a gang, right?
Yeah.
So how you have to prove that they are in a gang and according to the law, by you can't meet in a particular number place, whatever it is, right? The criterion for defining what is a gang is and so on and so forth. So why waste your time trying to prove somebody in a gang, and according to the law, that person can be fined up to $500,000, right? Why not put that $500,000 on something that you can prove, somebody who is found with a firearm? You can prove that, right? That can stick quicker than trying to prove whether somebody is in a gang.
And you're right. I think you're right. But how about we should be doing, which is what I think the police, their job is to go and seek out people who have firearms that they shouldn't have and all that kind of stuff. But on the gang portion of it, how about we engage in these communities, community workers, whose responsibility it is to intervene in the lives of young children or young people in neighborhoods with a view to encouraging them to adopt alternatives to gang membership?
Well, Mr. Lane, that is what the Urban Renewal 2.0, 1.0, 5.0.
Let's get serious, man.
Was designed to do, right?
Let's get serious. First of all, I have no difficulty with Urban Renewal. So people in Urban Renewal can do some good work. Depending on Urban Renewal engagements are essentially patronage engagements. And I understand that I ain't FNMPLP. I ain't getting caught up in that. That's fine. You want to give your people work, and if they can do something useful, fine, no problem. But the work of intervening in the lives of gang members is serious work.
Yeah.
Requiring trained people with knowledge of a neighborhood and ability to interact with young people in a way that can steer them. So we ought to be serious about it. And this ain't about Urban Renewal. You could attach to the Urban Renewal if you want, but if you want to be serious about it, let's be serious about it.
Yeah, well, I agree. And like I said, that was the initial, I guess, focus idea, was that they would come into these neighborhoods. And I know they had the marching bands, the various other programs. I don't know whether it still exists, the after-school program, and all the other things like that. But like everything else, it's underfunded. I know somebody who works there, and they got to be hustling for this and hustling for that, and so on and so forth.
Let me say, the underfunding and under-resourcing you're talking about happens even under the PLP that created the program. So both the PLP and the FNM underfunds the program.
Yeah, right. You know, that was the baby of Mr. Perry Christie, and I thought that, subsequent governments. I mean, just like BAMC under Mr. Perry Christie, you know, it had so much potential. But because we don't have a national development plan, a plan that we can go, this one comes in.
A national development plan isn't the reason for underfunding that, my brother.
No. I mean, I am not, but I'm talking about the continue Asian of a project that is viable, that is good for the country, even that isn't
the reason, because the truth of the matter is, even if I legislate that something should be done, a new administration, so long as it's not a constitutional provision requiring a referendum or the like, a new administration can undo that.
Well, we have these things other countries have planned. I listen to Mr. Gawin Bo every time. He's just on the You and Your Money. And he says this every time he comes on, he says the same thing. Because we would have a guideline as to how we want a country to be developed, how our finances are going to be used, and so on and so forth. But but what I really call you about, Ms. Lane, on the matter of this labor thing, because I listened to Ms. The Minister of Labor, she said they are working, they are there till 10, 9 o'clock at night every night, trying to get people people who've been in the system on the 52-week program for 10 years and whatnot. And the problem is that a lot of these things go back 4 or 5 different administrations. And a lot of the contentious issues has to do with finances, right? And so the Prime Minister is ultimately the Minister of Finance, and so therefore he alone can make these decisions. But if I was the Prime Minister, I would find out whatever the amount of money is and go and borrow it, if it's $200 million, $100 million, whatever, and pay these people off and then start over on a clean slate, because this can be a problem again for the next administration who come in if these issues aren't resolved, right?
So first of all, let me tell you something, right? You hit a reasonable note about this issue. But can I tell you that anytime you see the government of the Bahamas struggling to do anything, you could bet your bottom dollar it's about the bottom dollar.
Yeah, well, more than likely.
Okay, listen. And it ain't so easy for the government to go borrow $200 million to go pay off no contractual workers. And that isn't even the issue because ain't no contractual worker working for 4 years and getting paid. So that's not the issue.
Yeah, but all of these unions, the 15 unions who have strike vote against the government, all of them, these little smaller things like that, they already signed off with them. The thing is, it's about the Benjamins. You know, it's about the money that they can't seem to get the agreement to, or they get the agreement and they don't get the money, you know.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. And so a lot of this is a reflection, you know. That's why I'm going to tell you something. The people of the Bahamas have politicians in the Bahamas in a quandary. And politicians in the Bahamas have people in the Bahamas in a quandary. Because we simply will not be reasonable communicators to each other. We will not be. And so let me tell you something. Oh, look at what we've done to bring the public finances into stability, and we created this and that. And it gives you an impression things are so wonderful.
Right.
That you wonder, well, why can't you do this, that, and the next thing? In the meantime, you know, and I know, contractors are waiting to be paid. People are trying to be regularized so that they can get from off the 52-week program, which is supposed to be only 52 weeks now, last 4 years, so that they can become permanent and pensionable, which has financial implications. And so because we will not say to people, listen, man, I'm sorry, we may have made progress, but the cash flow of the government sucks.
And Mr. Lai, that is so true. Because, according to you, that is what the president of the nurses union alluded to. Hey, you know, the prime minister said, okay, we have gotten the country's finances in order and so on and so forth. It seems like we could party now, you know what I mean?
So you make statements like that. Because we have this thing that,
we got money now, you know?
So exactly, because we got this dual thing. Reality. We got these dual realities that we are working with. We want to show the FNM up, or we want to show the PLP up. So we brag, oh, look what we have done. Look what we have done. Look what we've done. But mind you, the people outside there who ain't dealing with FNM or PLP at the moment, they are simply trying to think about their lives and what it means for them. They are here and you say, oh, man, we make things so much better than y'all. Mm. They thinking, well, that must mean I could get paid now with my increment money.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, but like I said, you always, you know, yeah, you could say we are in a better place, but we still have a long way. We have a way to go. We are better.
Yeah.
And a couple of months or years, we would be able, or whatever it is, be able to deal with these matters. But don't give people false hope, man. And I know,
but that has to be, look
for that statement in the Bible, and you were right. I didn't find it. A comfort is the promise of fool. But I thought I saw it, but I was wrong. But the thing about it is, be honest with the people. Let them know what the state of the finances of the country is. Okay. Let the people know so that they don't have this unmet expectation that we have money. We may have money
also,
but we have bills too, you know, other bills, also, we have interest
also,
payment that we pay also, almost $500 million a year on.
Also, you have to act like your finances is in a certain way.
Agreed.
You have to signal to people everything isn't everything yet. So you could do both things. As you said, you can say we've made improvements, but listen, man, we got a ways to go. And you see how we are behaving. You see, I now have the government buying smaller economic vehicles. You see, we are now not going traveling as much as we would travel ordinarily. You see, we are pulling back on this, that, and the next thing because we want to make sure the gains that we are making continue so that at the end of the day, we can do more because we created the space, the fiscal gap to do more and to respond to emergencies when they come.
At one point in time, the Prime Minister, Mr. Davis, asked the public to be more prudent in their spending. And so, you know, you have to lead by example. You can't ask us to tighten our belt and you know, be more prudent in our spending when people look at some of the things that you do, even though some of it may be necessary. But then you ask, to what extent do you need to do this? You know, do you just need a car or you need a $1 million car? And all of these things the people look at because they are saying, man, this is Animal Farm. All of us are equal, but some of us are more equal. Have a good day, Mr. Lai.
Hey, brother. You too, man. Appreciate it. We have a text here. Ask me, how much have we reduced the government debt in the last 2 years, please? Well, you have not reduced the government debt in the last 2 years at all. Not at all. The government debt in 2017 was $6.7 billion. That was in 2017. In 2018, it rose to $7.8 billion. In 2020, it rose to $8.5 billion. In 2021, it rose to $10.2 billion. In 2022, it rose to about $11 billion. And in 2023, it rose to $11.4 billion. So the government debt has not been reduced. What you might hear is that the debt to GDP ratio has been reduced. And the reason for that is that the government's debt is rising, but the GDP of the country is rising more, so that what is happening is the effect of that is a reduction in the government's debt has risen every year in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas from the independence. Every year. Even in the Great Recession in 2007, between 2012, even with the Great Recession, that global crisis, the government debt to GDP rose from 23.5% to 37.6%. Wasn't near 100%. Not near. This was during the Great Recession. But since that time, particularly since the pandemic, that debt has accelerated, right? So to your question, the government debt has not reduced in the last 2 years or in the last 50 years. Says, good afternoon again. Will livable wage then become the legal minimum wage? If so, I'm not sure it will be affordable wage for employers. No, to be sure. The livable wage, there will be no legal minimum livable wage in the Bahamas, no time soon. There'll be no mandatory livable wage in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas anytime soon on planet Earth. So you don't have to even worry about whether employers will be able to afford it or not. There will not be a livable wage in the Bahamas anytime soon. No time. So on. Let me read these texts for you. Mr. Lang, I know two involved in gang in jail today. One is a lady. His text says, great show as usual. Why they put the ports on Bernard Road? You know how much traffic on that road. It was not a well thought out idea. But isn't Bernard Road closer to Fox Hill Prison and not downtown? Isn't that the case? I don't know. You can, in Nassau, you can find traffic practically everywhere. I think they were trying to shorten the distance between Fox Hill and Tingham, though. So I don't know. It's close to the population. This says, Mr. Lang, that's flower slogan. You have to cut your check. Everybody wins. Say food actually tastes better the next day, especially soup. What kinds of foods? All kinds of foods. I eat leftover. I ain't gonna lie to you. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man, and good day to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Mr. Lang, we have not matured as citizens in this country yet, and we are our own problems, you know. Because it seems like everything, and I say that because everything that the government tries to do about things, when the government make an effort to try to fix what it is we're complaining about, then we complain about what it is that they're trying to fix. Case in point, you know, we're making noise, we're complaining about the gang members and all of that, which it is very easy to determine who is a gang member or who is in gangs. Because guess what?
It is not easy to determine who's a gang member. We all know who the gang members are. No, but see, that's why when you call Z Live, I want you to understand that we are trying to ensure that there is real knowledge by people. It isn't a question of what you know. It's what a court of law can agree has been evidenced. It's not me and you. Me and you ain't be sitting in the court judging nobody.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be proven in a court of law that you bring me this person and said they are in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, me and you sitting outside in our house in the neighborhood might know, yeah, well, you know, your boy, and he's be that gang for sure. That it don't work like that in court.
Okay, so then as a society, our governments do not have the intel, or they don't have what it takes to determine who is in CCTVs across the island. All right, we know what a gang member dress like. We know what they look like. We know what their conduct
is. Sir, with the greatest respect to you, let me tell you something. Right, have some regard for the people who are in that business. When I started telling you the issue, I didn't say Zhivago Lang said it's difficult. I said I said police officers who are involved with this process explained to young people the challenge of proving somebody's in a gang.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? So they know what they are up against.
That's very important
to our dialogue, because this is what happens. We come on these radio shows and we make things seem so simplistic that people start thinking, why wouldn't we? And that's where we get in trouble. The worst thing to do in tackling a problem is to think simplistically about it.
Okay, so Mr. Lang, when the police go out there and they set up roadblocks, who is it that send the locations in the groups all over the place that say roadblock is here, don't go this way, don't go that way? Who is it?
It could be anybody. Okay. Do you know I'm driving in the United States of America? I'm in the United States of America using Google Map.
Mm-hmm.
And Google says there is a speed trap ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Google Map, you know, gang. Okay. Google Map telling me.
No, but I'm not saying this for that point. I'm saying that we complain about the bad drivers. We complain about the illegal drivers who don't have plates, who don't have this, who have the tents.
Right.
We complain about all of that, and then when the police go out there to deal with it, then we tell these same people who we're complaining about where the police is, where the roadblock is,
You know what is false about your argument? That you assume that the same people who are telling other people that the police has a roadblock are the same people who are complaining about the that they're all the same people. I could be complaining about something the police is doing, but I may not be somebody who is warning anybody that there's a roadblock. Okay, so you can't make that general statement. You could say, you know, some of the same people who are complaining about the police doing what they're doing or not doing what they're doing are some of the same people who are warning people about the roadblocks. You could say that. It might be true. I don't know it to be true, but it might be true.
So then, with your argument then, Mr. Lang, it is safe for me to say then that the problems and the issues that we have in society will never be fixed. Because if you have an argument to everything that I raise that I know to be a problem in our society, if you have a counter argument to it and everything, then it is then safe for me to say that the issues will never be fixed in this country. Because
I'd never say that to you, because we have fixed issues in this country. We have fixed many issues in this country. You remember when people used to gather on one single day to go get their cars licensed and the roads used to be stretched? Did we not fix that problem? You remember when a string of people used to be on crack cocaine in this country and drug dealing used to be happening massively throughout this country? Did we not fix that? Do you remember when people used to be smoking every and anywhere in this country, so forth? So did we not fix that? We have fixed many things, man. Many things in this country. So,
man, yeah. You don't drive in the streets in Nassau. You're driving behind cars and you could smell the dope coming out through the people's windows.
But would that have to do with crack cocaine, though? Would that have to do with crack cocaine?
Yeah, well.
See, the problem you have is this. You will not take a scientific approach to the statements you make. And this is a scientific approach. If I make a statement that one thing can verify that my statement is wrong, I need to modify my statement. So you just make general statements. It means that we ain't gonna fix nothing in the country. And I just said to you, we'll fix many things.
You go from crack cocaine
to smoking marijuana. Hey, driving the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and in Nassau many times, and I've never smelled while I was driving marijuana. Now, I've never done it. I'm not saying people ain't smoking marijuana sometime while I was driving in Nassau.
I can't recall a day that I drive in the streets in Nassau that I don't smell marijuana.
Then you need to drive some different places. You need to drive some different places, bro. You ever drive from the roundabout by Fusion to the airport and smell marijuana by it? And people car in front of you?
Okay, Mr. Lang. All right.
All right, brother. Take care, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivagra Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
The holidays are here, and Dunkin' is spreading the cheer this season. Let Dunkin' be a part of your celebrations. Warm up with your favorite holiday drinks, grab a box of our famous donuts for your gatherings, or treat someone special to a Dunkin' gift certificate, the gift that always runs on joy. From our Dunkin' family to yours, we wish you a whole latte happiness. Happy holidays, and remember, the Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Lang, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me tell you all something. My children will tell you, we row sometimes about things that they think. Right? And so, and I tell them, I say, let me tell you something. I am not going to let nobody dog on this country about things that are not evidenced. See, I don't mind. I mean, you can even have an opinion about the country, right? But you have to state it as such. But what you're not going to do is state as a fact a thing about the Bahamas when there's evidence to the contrary. So I tell them, as a man, I ain't had nobody dog on my country just on Slack. They just laugh with me, man. Let me read this some text for you. This text says, man, you got to cut the text down, man. I can't read all this stuff. Say, are you sure we can't have a livable wage anytime soon? There is some COI now complaining in groups that you are part of the conspiracy to keep us poor, including yourself, I guess. you are part of the conspiracy. They are saying the $100,000 Lincoln bean will give to each citizen is more than livable wage. I asked them to explain the below, and I am waiting for a response. Below is there so much salt in the lake named Baskunchak in Russia that the whole world could use it for more than 2,000 years. A business on the world market. Say, can anyone in the COI tell us what the difference is between Bahamian sea salt and this, and steps of cornering the market to make billions from one salt alone? So he says that he could get billions for one salt. I just wonder why we just didn't get a license and give the money to the government still. I wish I was making this up about some of us. Could he not do a 90% government deal? All righty. This text says, Mr. Lang, I know. Oh, so the Minister of Labor said last night that since this government came to power, she also said they have completed 96% of the stuff in agreed items in the MOU. Okay. Well, wouldn't it be helpful if what you do is list the items in the MOU and then list it? Tell the public what they are and then say, okay, we've done this, we've done that, we've done that. And then we could try to make some determination for ourselves. It'd be helpful to know. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Please, if the caller has information about gangs, he should assist the police. We all make assumptions about how they look. So if he knows the gang members, in my opinion, he should assist. I agree with you. Yeah. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. In the Bahamas, what is the law regarding left turn on red light? The law is that where there is a sign saying that you can turn left on red light, you can do so. Where there is a sign. Where there is no sign, there's no such rule. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
Hey, good, man. What's happening?
Right here, man. I can hardly hear you. It's all pretty low.
No, that's not me. That's not me. That's you. That's you. Trust me when I tell you that. That's not me.
Okay. All right. I only say what I'm hearing on my side, but nonetheless.
But a lot of times, you all say that and make me think something is wrong. And what I have discovered is it's not on my side. It's on your side.
Okay, so it's BTC then, because my phone volume up.
Something. Down. Yeah, whoever it is, it's not on my side. So producer, BTC, producer tells me, and I can't imagine I haven't been on for all this time, and the producer don't tell me that something's wrong.
No, on the radio, Shivago, you're coming across him with the call. That's it. Just with the call.
Okay, good. What's happening, man? Tell me what's going on.
Right. Nonetheless, good afternoon. How's it going?
Not bad, man. Right here, you know.
Okay, well, I wanted to add a few points to the conversation regarding the Prime Minister's announcements, which The Guardian played over one of your news updates and certainly over the 1 o'clock.
Okay.
PM Davis spoke about pursuing gangs and giving the mandate to the new Commissioner of Police and and support team to ensure that they do what is necessary, guaranteeing that the government will give the necessary support to not only hurt gangs, but to hurt them where their finances are concerned. And I think, Shivago, that is where it becomes a lot easier to track an individual or a group of individuals and their activity. Because as you very well know, being a finance man and economist yourself, you have to be able to account for where you're getting your funding from to support a lavish lifestyle if you come under the eyes, the suspecting eyes of a police and hierarchy in their investigations, right? And I believe that is where it becomes a lot easier to be able to focus and zoom in on identifying gang members, because money ain't coming over. Pardon me?
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. That is easier. That's like, that ain't about court. That's now about seeing the patterns of your life and then disrupting it.
Exactly. And so your finances, your legal finances would have to account and demonstrate that you can actually afford this lifestyle, and where there's failure to demonstrate that, the courts would be in good position based on the evidence that the government presents, or that the Commissioner of Police presents, rather, or perhaps the Director of Public Prosecutions, I should say, with the support of the Commissioner of Police and her team, to execute on what the mandate is that the Prime Minister has given them. And so I feel very encouraged by that particular pronouncement and that addition in the pronouncement. I would also beckon for the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Davis, I would also beckon for you, sir, and the Cabinet, your Minister of National Security, your new Commissioner of Police, to ensure that at the prison level, there is involved in paying the debt to crime, also paying the debt to the families that have been impacted. I believe that would go a very long way in not only ensuring that persons who find themselves running afoul of the law, whether it's deliberate or whether it was a single act of irresponsibility or a crazed act, whatever it may come down to, I believe that if we can help to hold the serving their time for their crime, if we can help to hold them accountable to paying
victim retribution.
Yes. I believe that is a major missing component, and I've been talking about that at least 10, 15 years, Shibago, because, you know, people go to jail, and as you know, because you're someone who's involved in helping to save the next generation in our country, and you are actively involved in it, thank God for you and others like you. But you very well know people go to jail, and they serve their 5 and 10 years on their head, right? They think nothing of it. But if they are held to account to pay for the loss, to make whole in the best way humanly possible the families that they have agreed.
I got you.
In this process.
Anton, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, because sometimes I wonder if I talk into, like, I'm talking foolishness, right?
Mm.
You drive on the streets in Nassau a lot?
Say that again, about the last part.
Do you drive on the streets of Nassau a lot?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Out of 10 times, how many times do you smell marijuana when you're driving?
Boy, look, Chivago, it don't matter if you're
in the
east.
I'm being serious. Like, I mean, no, I'm talking about you and your car and you're driving. Out of 10 times, are you smelling marijuana?
I can answer you right now. Much too many times. Where do you in the east? Where do you deep west? Where do you north? Mm. Where do you Paradise Island? Where do you Ocean Club? Where do you Lightfoot Key? Old Fort Bay? Where do you Port New Providence? It don't matter where you are on this island. You are smelling the sensations of marijuana. And it creates a further problem because you don't want to expose your innocent children. So that
right.
for them to be curious.
I'm gonna do. Huh? I'm gonna do something. I got you. I hear you. I'm gonna ask other people
incredible. And so you end up finding yourself, Chivago, in order to try and isolate yourself or your children in particular from that environment. You end up finding yourself driving around with air conditioning running 24 hours a day, and we know just how expensive it is at the gas stations. Anyway.
I got you, and I hear you, but I find that incredible. Honestly, I can be honest with you. I find, but no problem. I'm going to ask other people. I'm going to ask other people their experiences because that's incredible to me, right? That you are riding up and down Nassau and you smell a marijuana all the time. Tell me, please text me and tell me. Yeah, that's true me. That's me. That's happening.
Tobago, can you
ask that I'm not asking whether it happens. I'm not asking whether it happens. To tell me this is a regular experience in Nassau, for you, I just find that incredible.
Can you tell me, Chivago, can you tell us how many times out of 10 have you experienced that?
Zero in Nassau. Zero.
What?
Listen, Anton, listen to me. See, no. All I'm saying to you, I'm not denying your experience. You told me what yours is.
Right.
I am telling you what my experience is. Okay. So we have yours, we have mine, we have other people who are commenting. Let me see what other people say.
Right,
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But I find it incredible to believe. You are regularly on the streets of Nassau.
Right.
And you are smelling marijuana.
Absolutely, Shabbat. Where are you walking or driving?
Okay, I got you, brother. Let me listen to other people. But if that is true, your government and police officers are failures in the Bahamas. Failures, absolute failures. Absolute failures. Say, this caller says, caller is right, Z Live. I smell marijuana on many Nassau roads from driver's vehicles. It's like I-95 in Florida. I totally agree with that caller. I have never smelled marijuana driving on I-95. How you can smell any marijuana driving on I-95 as positive as people drive it? That's crazy. Anyway, let's take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. This is our final break. We'll be back.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
We go into this. We go into this. Gonna get them pancakes, waffles, omelets, ribs, breakfast sandwich, love the taste. Try our French, don't stuff your face. Come to Nez Pancake, please. We go into Nez. Yes, we go into Nez. Woo! Gonna eat that chicken and fries, fudge and rice. Juicy burgers taste so nice. Rock, comb, chicken wings. Come and try all we things.
Nez Pancake Place, located behind Sunshine Laundromat on Settlers Way. Call 351-5456 to place your order today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Gulang, your host. Listen, I needed this today. This fella say, man, I could smell weed on New Providence from here, Grandma. So you have to be high to live on New Providence just to cope. But they say half the people can't differentiate between burning bush from weed or cigar. Half the people. So I've told people in my complex what they smell is shepherd needle and pine from the burning bush around the complex. I agree with you on that. Lots of people can't distinguish the difference. So this person says, hardly ever for me. I would like to know where they drive and say, no, not true. I agree. This text says that they are failures to a great degree. They talking about the government and the police. Oh, man, I believe that. They says, great show as usual. I actually have not smelled marijuana for a while. And I being real, I always on road. Okay, see, that my experience when I'm in Nassau. I don't know. This text says, good day, Z. As a taxi driver, it's a minimum of 3 out of 10 times I smell marijuana every day while driving and all day and all night in the taxi. But you see, that's a 3 out of 10. I could buy that. I could buy that. But this nonsense, this notion, I don't buy that. It's a good day, Zhivago. Please note that I drive with my windows up so I don't smell marijuana. However, I live in a middle-class neighborhood and cannot go outside to catch fresh air where my neighbors on the side and back of my house smoke marijuana in the morning and evening. Sadly, I have reported this matter to the police over the last 3 months as it appears to be getting worse and while they about has not yet. But see, if you tell me, if you have neighbors who smoke marijuana, it's not unusual to smell marijuana in your neighborhood, but that's not on the road though. You know what is, you know what you have to, you know what has to happen for you to be smelling marijuana driving on the road all the time? 2 out of 10 times, 3 out of 10. I could see that. But all the time? I can't get that, man. So, Mr. Lang, very seldom times do I smell marijuana on the roads. But I have experienced it in shopping and public parking lots. Exactly. When you're stationary, I can see that. Says, I'd say maybe 2 in 10 times for me while driving. It happens, but I never seen it in the police presence. Okay. let me see. Let me get to these. We have a call on the line, but let me get to this this next. Said, Mr. Lang, thank you very much with that last call. Only a narrow mind would really be worrying about cannabis smoking. He seems like he'll hell-bent in demonizing weed when alcohol is in abundance and being consumed with cannabis and all sort of. They bother brother good-made cannabis. We are facing far greater problems, brother, like widespread corruption and injustice. All right, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and happy new year. Uh-huh.
Same to you, my brother. Same to you, man.
Yeah, okay. But the marijuana thing, only one place I've been and I smell it, that was Goodman's Peak. And that's a part that's better, 270 Speed.
Yeah.
So you smell it there around there, you know.
But while you're driving on the road, is this a regular thing for you to smell?
No. Okay. I don't smell it on the road like that.
Okay.
I don't know what area that is. But back to what you were saying with the economy, with the debt, right? The government does things, they can keep the debt high. For instance, how much money they spend on consultants?
Okay. Plenty.
Yeah, they hire a bunch of consultants. That's unnecessary. That's a big debt you're creating right there. Then on top of that, you bring back the permanent secretary. You know, so that's another debt you created. And again, I said, if a person been working 25 years, 30 years, and they can't move up the ladder, the permanent secretary, you bring back the older ones, and who done retire and bring back, that created a natural debt. So they could work on those two, and particularly the consultant. I think we have too much consultant on that necessary.
I got you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. This says, hi, Shivago. Happy New Year. As a real estate agent, always on the road and everywhere throughout, I do not smell weed everywhere when driving or walking. That's been my experience. This text says, I smell it 2 out of 10 times. Okay, I could buy that. Said, Z, as much as I hate to agree with anything Anton says, the smell of ganja in and around New Providence is on the rise. That's a different thing than what we are talking about now. I mean, Anton, I'm talking about everywhere, anywhere, all the time. I don't buy that. That's not true. I come to the airport, I don't smell no weed. I move from the airport, rent my car, I don't smell no weed. I drive over now, Nassau, going to this, that, and the next thing at the University of Bahamas. I don't smell no weed. I'm sorry. That's... So, Mr. Lang, I am out West Bay Street and tourist. No offense, but do you know what marijuana smells like? What you mean, please? Please. Please. Think I am. Please. Marijuana? Come on. But please. And you someplace where tourists are. Y'all are missing the point. Are you driving on the road smelling weed? That's the difference. Say, every day I smell weed out of at least one car. I could see that, but that's out of one car. Everywhere? Say, I don't know what these people are talking about. I am on the streets daily with my job as a freelancer. I cannot tell you the last time I smelled marijuana. I know I'm not crazy. I thoroughly believe anybody who says they smell marijuana in Nassau all the time is talking nonsense. I thoroughly believe that. So you can smell it more during high traffic times. That's the exhaust. That's the exhaust from the people come on between 5 and 7 o'clock. This place is... So, well, I drive every day and I do not smell no marijuana. If once a month, it's plenty and my AC is off. I mean, so do you know Brent Simonet already commented on this issue and said you can smell it from the bridge? Yeah, but that means because Brent said it. I tell you what my experience is. I've been on the bridge. Just for no marijuana yet. All over Paradise Island, I had to meet a colleague in my Paradise Island. We have been lunch and driving, and they ain't telling me they smell no marijuana, and I smell none. So just turned on the radio. Spot on. Just spoke about this. Driving and getting the stink sweet smell of weed like dead skunk at least twice a week. I say twice a week. This is what we're talking about. Anybody tell me you driving randomly driving in Nassau, you smelling weed all the time? Oh, that's nonsense. So the friend of the motorcyclist who died last week said he just met him at a bar and brought him a beer, and they were supposed to meet at another bar, but the deceased never showed up. Our sobriety and intoxicated driving laws are regularly abused, says that person. Anyway, folks, I gotta go. I gotta go. Thank you very much for listening in. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shvagalan, your host. We God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care. You know that you're not alone.